Praise God.
Hello.
Have you come to help me?
Yeah.
I'm glad about that. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your mummy and daddy are as well.
Yeah.
Especially so. It's great to see a young life so happy.
Yeah.
Enjoying life in a good family. Praise God. And we just praise the Lord for this opportunity to bless this child in a few minutes. But I just want to talk, because it's Easter, there's so much to talk about in that sort of sense. And this to us, the church would not exist if it wasn't for Easter. So we would not be here right now going to dedicate and christen little Abby. We wouldn't be here, would we? Because Jesus would have not come, Jesus would have not died on the cross, and the church would not exist. I don't know what we'd be doing. Not good things, probably. Worshipping the wrong things. But I want to read some verses of Scripture to you. Some of it's already been talked about. Stealing the message already before I get chance. I mean, oh, what can you do with them? Praise God. But I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28. And Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Can you imagine that? You turn up at a grave, there's a great big stone rolled in front of the entrance, and all of a sudden there's this like an earthquake, and suddenly this angelic being, all dressed in white. There you go. I've got my props, you see, straight away. All dressed in white, and she comes and sits upon the stone, and then begins to announce and say, Jesus is not here.
Amen.
He is risen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He's risen. Yes. Yeah. He's risen.
Yes.
He's ascended.
Yes.
All right. And verse 6, he said, he's not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come see the place where he was lying. It's all right, I get you. I'm used to this. Are you okay? Good, that's great. You sit there. And then it goes on to say, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he is going before you into Galilee. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go take my word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now whilst they were on their way, behold, some guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled the elders together and counseled together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, you are to say, the disciples came by night and stole him away while you were asleep. Wow. You know, that would be an execution offence for the soldiers to own up and say, we were asleep on duty. Yeah?
Yeah?
You know, it's like, you're going to lose your head. But they bribed them with that much money to say that the disciples came, rolled the stone away while we were asleep. By then, must have been sound asleep. They must have been as drunk as skunks, you know, just to stay asleep. And the world so often seeks to try and lie about Jesus. And about the resurrection, and it's recorded in history, it's recorded in Jewish history, but also it's recorded so much in the Word of God, the Bible. And it goes on to say, that when Jesus met his disciples a little bit later, it says this: "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mount where Jesus had designated to meet with them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful." Now, I've been a Christian for over 50 years. I know I don't look 50, do I? No, thank you. I'll pay you later, all right? And for some reason, I have read these scriptures, and I'll be quite honest, that part of that verse, "and some were doubtful," has never ever, Brian, it's never registered in my mind. And it was like today was the first time that I actually saw it. Can you believe that? You know, you can read things in the Bible and you can miss so much because there is so much in there. And I'm like, wow. Now, the thing that came to me most of all, what shocked me, was the fact that these people that Jesus were meeting, these were his followers that had been following him for over 3 years. They'd been with him. They were just a gang of guys together. And Jesus was teaching them the principles of God. And suddenly, some of them are like, "I don't believe it." But Jesus has been telling them, "They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die. But on the third day, I'm going to rise up from the dead." Now, I know it's tough to believe that, isn't it? You know, think about it. It's, you know, can you somebody get up from the dead? Wow. That's, you know, scary. Do you think? Yeah. Actually, what's your name?
Martin.
Martin. Oh, you're the other godparent, aren't you? I'm getting, I'm matching, you know, maxing off together. Sort of. Well, you know, Martin, there's a lady in this church, right? I think it's over 15 years ago. We were in a meeting. Sorry, folks, I'll let you listen in, but I'm just having a conversation with Martin, okay? You can listen in. But, well, we're just having a private conversation, so you might not interrupt him, okay? And this lady, just over 15 years, we were in a church meeting, and it was an actual prayer meeting, and all of a sudden, she actually died. She actually died in the meeting. Now, I don't know if you know, some of you will have seen a dead person, haven't you? And when it was like a death mask come over them. And this death mask just came over, and for 5 minutes, she didn't breathe. Now, my niece was at the church at the time, and she's a trained nurse. So we knew that she was dead. So what did we do? What do you think we should have done? What's the DNA? Oh, yeah, she might have had a... Yeah. Yeah, well, she might have had a DNA, don't resuscitate. Well, I knew who she was. Cool, you know, she was part of the church fellowship, you see. So, what we did is, there's a story in the Bible where Jesus prayed for a dead person, and they came back to life. So we as the church just then started to pray for this lady. Do the same thing. You know, we're copying, we're mimicking, we're standing in faith and trusting God's word that says, because Jesus said, he gave us a commission when he was about to leave the earth. He gave us a commission. He said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick," and finishes off with, "and raise the dead." So I'm a fairly simple preacher, you know, I'm a simple person. So we just started to pray for her. And then suddenly, after about 5 minutes, she came back to life. But in the meantime, I had this little voice in this ear saying, "You're going to look stupid in the morning. Headline news, lady dies in church, minister refuses to call for an ambulance." That looked daft, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't that, you know? And be my photograph plastered all over the news, you know. It's like, and I'm thinking, shall I call for an ambulance? And I'm praying with the rest of the church. And then after about 5 minutes, all of a sudden, she just came back to life and started breathing. Wow. She's actually sat on the next row behind you. Yep, that's the lady. You know, you can, after service, you can pinch her just to check whether she's alive. But I tell you, she's alive. Now, I'm not making these stories up because, you know, I don't tell lies. You know, it's, but that dear lady there, the Lord brought her back from death over 15 years ago. This is the power of God, folks. This is what Jesus can do. Jesus can change your life. If you allow Jesus to come into your life, if you'll accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, these things can happen.
Amen.
You know, Jesus gave his disciple the commission that you're to go out, pray for the sick. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen cancers disappear. A lady in Romania, she had cervical cancer. Not good for ladies. And you know, God, she didn't know what to do. She'd been to the hospital, been diagnosed. They'd set in an operation in the October. We were there in the September. And we prayed with her on the last day that we were in Romania at this church. We went away, back home here. And a few weeks later, she went to the hospital ready to have the operation. When she got there, the doctor said, well, we need to just re-examine you and just make sure what the progress has been. It had totally gone, and the comment from the doctor was, I've never seen a better cervix in all of my life, a perfect cervix. Now, who did it? Any idea? It wasn't me. God did it. You see, the God that I serve, the Jesus that I serve, is alive and real. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And often we pray for people and we see people being healed. There's a lady who's going to get baptized. She's going to put in that tank there and give her full immersion. And you know, she came to church 12 months ago, just as lockdown was released. Because 12 months ago, just before the Easter, we were still in lockdown, if you remember, weren't we? And I made a decision. I'm a bit rebellious sometimes, you know. I liked it. And I said, come Easter, lockdown or no lockdown, we're in church. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be, because it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Boris did lift it, but if he hadn't lifted it, I would have been here. And that lady, she came to church. And she gave her heart and she gave her life to Jesus. And she's been journeying along the journey, following the Lord Jesus and growing in faith, growing in her ability of understanding and knowing the Lord Jesus. And it is all about growing. It's about changing. That each day we are changed in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you okay? It'll be your turn in a minute. And we grow in grace. We grow in the things of God. We develop in what God is doing. And so it's important to realize that we came to faith, we came to salvation, we came to knowing Jesus through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not through understanding, because like I said today, I just read some scripture today. I never saw it. Well, I probably did, but it didn't click. You know, sometimes you... Have you ever driven somewhere and then wondered how you got there? Yeah. I don't know how it happens, do you? Yeah, I've set off and I've been driving along and then suddenly, it's like somewhere along the way I've slept part of the journey and then I've arrived and think, how did I get here? Oh, there were no sat nav. I just don't know. You just go into automatic, don't you? And you,
we're in that mode.
I mean, when you've got a car, haven't you? So, We've got an old Toyota Celica, which is 1993. And then I've got a Volvo, which is one of these key fobs that you push in top and you push a button, you see. So when I have to get in my wife's old car, I'm looking, where do I put my key fob and where's the button? And then I realise it's a thing down here, you see. So I've got one advantage, both of them are automatic, so I'm okay. But if it came to a gearbox, like, you know, it'd be when car's doing this. Oh, a clutch, you know. And so we do think, we drive automatically, don't we? When you get in a car, you don't think, oh, where's the key go? What do I do next? You just do it. And you start the car, don't you? It's just automatic. You know, and we as Christians, we actually operate sometimes in an automatic mode as we follow the Lord Jesus. We day by day, we follow him. You okay, sweetheart? Hey, you okay?
No.
Restrictions, you see. None of us like being restricted. And that is something that God has not given us restrictions, but God has came, Jesus came to set us free.
Amen.
Jesus came to set us free. The devil came to bring bondage on us. The devil came to stop us. But Jesus came, he said, I am come that you might have life, not death, life, and have it with an abundance. Not shortchanged, not struggling to get by, but with an abundance. And so today, God wants you to realize that he wants to bless you.
He
wants to do things in your life. But for that to happen, you and I have to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You and I have to come to the place where we say, I'm a sinner. I know that I was a sinner. And I made mistakes. But I knew that on that cross, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died. And he died for Andrew's sins. He died for Grace's sins. What's your name?
James.
Pleased to meet you, James. Bless you. Good to meet you. James, he died for your sins. And that, God is love, means it's for James as well.
Amen.
Means that God loves you.
Amen.
So often people try and portray God as this God who's got a down on you. He's going to beat you with a big stick.
No.
The Bible teaches God is love. If you've been told anything any different, it's not from the Bible.
No.
It's not from the Bible. God loves you with an everlasting love. See, God gave a sacrifice, and that was his son Jesus. He gave everything he'd got. He gave the best thing he'd got and said, I'm going to give Jesus, and he's going to pay the price for James's sins. He's sending Jesus to pay the price for Grace's sins.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Andrew's sins. And by doing that, he set me free. He can set James free, Grace free. He can set you free.
Absolutely.
Because it's the love of God.
Yes.
That is reaching out to the world today.
Amen.
For God so loved the world
that he gave
his only begotten son, Jesus. Just for you. Just for me. Just for each and every one of us. God sent his son for you and for me. And in doing so, we just simply have to ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts, into our lives, say, Lord, I want to put you in charge of my life. You know, sometimes we've driven our lives and we've got to places in our life and we didn't realise how we got there. A bit like you and I, we've been driving somewhere and we arrive at the destination. How did I get here? What route did I take? And so often, you know, our lives, if without Jesus in our lives, we can end up, we take the wrong route. We end up at the wrong destination. And God today wants you to end up at heaven.
Amen.
He wants you to know eternity with him.
Amen.
He wants you to know that Christ died for you, that you might know Christ, and that you might have an eternal, everlasting relationship with God. That no matter what your needs are, no matter what your problems are, no matter what your difficulties are, God is there for you.
Amen. Amen.
And he loves you.
Yeah.
with an everlasting love. And today we're going to have a short service where this little girl, Abby, we're bringing her to the Lord Jesus. And this is just an introduction to the church. That's all it is. It's an introduction to the church, and we're going to dedicate her to the Lord. And the responsibility of all of this goes on further from that, because we're just offering her, we're giving thanks for her life, we're giving thanks to God for her. And the godparents, we're going to charge them with a responsibility. How serious do you take your responsibilities?
Very serious.
I'm glad. Yeah, right answer. Otherwise you're out the door, mate, you know. Right answer. Because it is important. You know, godparents were initiated due to the fact that there was so many parents either being killed or diseased, that godparents were there as a safeguard, that if something happened to the mother and father, there was somebody there who would take care of that child and bring that child up in the truths and the way of God.
Yeah.
In the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And in doing so, that child's future, as far as the parents were concerned, was secure.
Amen.
Was safe.
Amen.
And they were happy for that to happen. And you know, you three, I'm charging you three with that responsibility.
Yeah.
I know you are. But this, you know, it's making sure that we have that responsibility, that we're going to do this. Because it's important. Because we're making a promise. We're making a promise, one, to Haley and to Brian. And we're making a promise, she's not here, but to Abby. And then also, further than that, we're making a promise to Almighty God. And we're saying, this is what we're prepared to do. And we're going to teach this young little child how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. We're going to teach this little child how to be a disciple, a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And part of the church's responsibility is to be involved with that. So we have a responsibility as well. And you have. And we've got to do this together.
Yeah.
Praise God. And so as we do this together, we see the child growing up in the things of God. We see the child with a great future. But you know, today, you and I don't know if there's anybody here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior. But today I want you to think about this, those words up there. God is love. God loves you with an everlasting love. God is not looking at you and looking at the things that you've done and saying, I'm going to beat you up for this.
No.
He's saying, I've sent Jesus.
Yeah.
I've sent my son. I've paid the price for everybody's sin,
Amen.
For everybody's punishment for that sin.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart,
yeah.
into your life, and say, Lord, I'm surrendering it, all that I have, all that I am to you, that you'll start me again and guide me, lead me and direct me. And all you have to say is, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me for my sins, and say, Lord, I want to follow you for the rest of my life. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. And you set yourself on a new path. You set yourself on a new direction. You set yourself with a new purpose and a new goal. And then there are so many exciting things to do. God can begin to use you in such wonderful ways. Blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, cancers, people raised from the dead. And just God moving in a tremendous way through you, because God wants you to be connected with Him. God wants heaven on earth.
Amen.
The Lord's prayer is, as it is, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. As it is in heaven, so shall it be. Where?
On earth.
On earth. So what happens in heaven, God wants it to be happening on the earth. Good things. And I know we've seen the media this last few months, and particularly like the Ukraine situation. Is that a good situation?
No.
But you see, God, you know, God wants people to intervene. God wants to see this done away with. And you know, if somebody loved Jesus, if somebody really loves you, do you think they're going to try and kill you? No. It's not going to happen, is it? There's so much lack of love. Power seeking to destroy people. Lust of money. Greed, envy, jealousy. And God's just saying, I love you. Come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest.
Yes.
The Lord's calling your name right now. He's calling you to come to Jesus. He's calling you to surrender to Him. And in surrendering to Him, He will give you everlasting life.
He will.
Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you sent the greatest gift, the Lord Jesus, for our lives. To save us, to heal us, to set us free.
Amen.
To pour in your love into our lives.
Yes.
Lord, to give us peace where there is no peace.
Absolutely.
To give us rest where there is no rest.
Yes.
So, Father, I just pray that as we just wait for a moment before you and just call upon your name. And ask you to come into our hearts and into our lives afresh and anew, Lord Jesus. Just bless us with your Holy Spirit.